teenager from yesterday about. Should this be closer or is that cool? Yeah, so a teenager from yesterday about Shita Ravashi. Right? So Ravashi's explaining why you have Erev Tov Shilin. Right? Why the Rabban set up Erev Tov Shilin. And he says, is that it's really set up as because a person may come to think if a person the rice a person allowed to cook from Yantar to Shabbos, but not from Yantar to Chol. So a person is apt to confuse those and say, oh, so you're allowed to cook on Yantav, absolutely, even not for Yantav itself. Right? Because you're allowed to cook on Yantav to Shabbos. He's going to think that Yantav is just a day where you're allowed to cook. There's no provision against cooking. So in order to prevent that, the Rabbanon said, no, there is prohibition against cooking on Yantav. And it's only permitted under the circumstances of an Erev Tov Shilin. Right? So this way a person will say, oh, it's prohibited to cook from Yantav to Shabbos. It must be, this is a really very limited type of cooking. It's not just across the board you're allowed to cook on Yantav, but it's only because of Yantav to Shabbos, because of Erev. So guys now no longer going to make the mistake. Right? It's not going to make a mistake. So the question is, fine, so there's a few problems. So that's the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara kind of makes sense. I mean, it's kind of smooth. But the Rashi's make things a little more complicated. Okay. So Rashi says, first of all, he says, according to Rav Ashi, Erev Tov Shilin is an institution based upon Kavod Yantav. Okay, Kavod Yantav. So on the surface, we say this isn't Kavod Yantav. It's Shmiras Yantav, protecting Yantav that from being violated, from having a person cook on Yantav. It's not Kavod Yantav. Kavod Yantav is like Kavod Shabbos, is that I make sure a guy will eat on Shabbos. But Kavod, this house is Kavod Yantav. It doesn't seem to be Kavod Yantav. It seems to be like a siag, like a gather, a fence. The next problem is that Rashi, when he explains the logic, okay, the guy, see, the Gemara says, the guy will reason as follows. It's also for me to cook from Yantav to Shabbos. Certainly from Yantav to Chol. Right now, it's not quite also to cook from Yantav to Shabbos. You're allowed to cook from Yantav to Shabbos if you have an Erev. So Rashi says, it's also to cook unless you begun from Erev Yantav. And then your cooking on Yantav is merely completing that which you already did, which you already begun prior, right, on the Erev. Right, so he said, it's a funny idea. How does that work? What does that mean? It's like you're completing what you did. I mean, cooking is cooking. Because you're starting, you're finishing, cooking is cooking. And then he said also, so then it says, the Kal Vachomer is going to say, if I'm not allowed to cook on Yantav Shabbos unless I'm completing, so then Kol Shekein, certainly Yantav Techol, it's 100% prohibited to cook. But the question is that does seem to be violate Dayo. Dayo Valenadenikliyos Kenodan. The principle of Kal Vachomer is that you could simply carry over to the Chomer that which you have by the Kal. So if anything, it should be that cooking on Yantav Techol should be equal. It should be the same as cooking on Yantav Shabbos. Namely, you shouldn't be allowed to cook unless it's a continuation, unless you've begun earlier. Right, so if I have a party right after Yantav, as long as I start cooking on Erev Yantav, it should be permitted to cook to continue cooking on Yantav, just like on Shabbos. Right, if a guy's going to say Kal Vachomer, so then the Kal Vachomer should tell him that he's allowed to cook using, if it's a continuation. Right? Okay. So those are the questions, right? Is there a problem? We good? So for starters, we said, what's the deal? We thought covered Shah, this idea, I'm sorry, the idea of the starting and finishing is our best clue. Okay? Starting and finishing. What does it mean, starting and finishing? So we said, what's the difference? What kind of Isser is it? It's also to finish cooking, to start cooking. What's the difference starting and finishing cooking? So we said is that when you're cooking, so if you begin your cooking on Shabbos, on Yantav, you begin your preparation for Shabbos, for Yantav, on Shabbos, sorry, forgetting the preparation for Shabbos and Yontif. So then essentially what you're doing is you're making Yontif into a preparation day for Shabbos. Okay, there's a concept of like of a preparation day, like Erev Shabbos is a phenomenon. It's a day whose identity is a day for prep for Yontif, for Shabbos. So the saying is that it lacks in Kavod Yontif to relegate its identity to being a prep day for Shabbos. Okay, a cooking day, it's a cooking day for Shabbos. So what you have is, but if you begin your cooking on the day before, and you continue cooking on Yontif, so then you're not rendering Yontif into a prep day. You're doing an action of cooking on Yontif for Shabbos. But the Isser isn't to do the action of cooking, it's to define the day as a prep day, because that lacks in Kavod Yontif. So they're, in a certain sense, they're protecting the Kavod of Yontif, and Yontif can't become identified as the prep day for Shabbos. And the way it does that is if you begin and end your cooking prep for Shabbos on Yontif, then that's its identity. Whereas if you have a process and it's just one amongst other days on which you do the cooking, so then you don't say that you've defined the day as a prep day. Right, then you've just done an action of cooking. But that doesn't take away from the Kavod Yontif in the same way. That was our first step. I mean, we still got a ways to go, but that's our first step. That's what it has to do with Kavod Yontif. And that's what it means, starting and finishing. That's the difference between starting and finishing. So, fine. So that's, so now the problem is, it's not so simple, because Eretz Tov Shilin, I mean, it's not set up. The Gemara is not exactly saying this. Because the Gemara is saying is that the reason why they're setting up this Isser and this Halacha is that a person will say, oh, if I'm not allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, certainly I'm not allowed to cook from Yontif to Chol. Right? So it sounds like really a geder, a fence to protect a guy from violating the prohibition of cooking from Yontif to Chol. Right, so it's very nice, we're giving a whole explanation of how this is Kavod Yontif, and as if the Chacham were coming along in order to protect Kavod Yontif so that a person wouldn't render Yontif into a prep day for Shabbos. But that's not what the Gemara says, right? It sounds like that alone. There's no halacha like that. There's no intrinsic halacha that Yontif can't be a prep day, because Deraisa, for instance, you're allowed to. So there's no halacha like that. So you could say it would be a kiyum in Kavod Yontif, perhaps, you know, to say that it's to not treat it as a prep day. But that's not why the Chachamim are coming along and setting up Erev Tov Shilin. They're not coming along in order really to protect to do Kavod Yontif. At least it would seem. I mean, we're stuck still in the contradiction, because it says, the Gemara is saying, is the reason why they're doing it is so that a guy will draw this Kal V'Chomer, and thereby he won't come to cooking on Yontif. Right? So we still have like a sort of, the original problem is that, I guess the first question is that on the one hand it sounds we're saying it's covered, on the other hand it sounds like it's a fence. Still we have to weave those two together somehow. What's the bigger picture here? How this thing is working? You know, I say another question you could ask is that if you say that this whole thing is it's a protection, right? So they want to prevent a person, to disallow a person from cooking on Yontif for Shabbos, or to make it into a prep day. Right, he's not allowed to cook, to begin his cooking on Yontif. Right, so just say that. You're not allowed to begin your cooking on Yontif. Right, you could only continue. What's the positive mitzvah or institution of an Erev Tov Shilin? You see, it's a positive institution, you make a bracha on it. It's not just an idea of an Isser, there's a positive idea here. Right, you're placing an Erev Tov Shilin. What's that? What are you doing? I mean, if it's just an idea that the Rabbanim are creating an Isser, they wanted to set up an Isser of cooking on Yontif for Shabbos so that a person will realize, oh, if cooking on Yontif for Shabbos is Isser, then certainly cooking on Yontif the whole. So just set up an Isser, you know, let it cook on Yontif to Shabbos, And if you want to say you're not allowed to start cooking on Yom Teshuvah, fine, so say that. Say you're not allowed to start cooking. You're only allowed to continue cooking, you know? So you have to let us continue cooking if you already started earlier. Right? But what's this positive institution? If it's really just an isser, right? That's like a question on the Gemara, on Ravashi kind of, you know? According to, if you say it's a positive reminder about Kavod, you know, the other thing, you know, like Kavod Shabbos, to make sure you leave your food over, fine. But saying this is just an idea that's an isser. I think that's kind of the question. And Omar is asking it from the other side. I mean, if the whole thing is to be a Kavod that you have, that you're making out of prep, if, I mean, I guess the question, what's the combination here of the Isser and that and the Mitzvah? I mean, it's in a certain sense, it is Asser, right? I mean, it is Asser. You're not allowed to cook. If you don't have an Erev, you're not allowed to cook. But at the same time, it's a Mitzvah. So which one is it? And which one's first and which one's second? And is there, you know, how do these two things interrelate? It seems like the Isser is somehow preventing violation of Yadav. The Mitzvah seemingly ties in with Kavod Yadav somehow. Right? Well, there's another thought I'm having here, is that there was something funny about this whole layer of deal. It's like, you're saying that I'm not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, unless I place an Erev. That's what they're worried about. Let's take what's wrong with simple pshat. Why is Rashi getting so complicated? Maybe let's ask that. Why is Rashi getting so fancy? More sounds simple. Thing is, you're worried about a guy is going to think that you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov Techol because he's cooking Yom Tov Shabbos, so now he's going to cook Yom Tov Techol. He'll get those confused. Right? That's reasonable. I still think is, oh, yeah, it's not only cooking on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, it's even for after Yom Tov. So he's going to confuse those. So now you say, oh, but since the only way you're permitting him to cook is based on Erev Tavshilin, so therefore he'll realize, oh, it's only because Erev Tavshilin only exists on Shabbos, so therefore a guy's not going to make that mistake. Right? But, see, I think what's difficult about that is, like, how exactly is Erev Tavshilin allowing me to cook? Like, it's like an art, this whole thing is like a very artificial thing, is that we don't want you to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. But we do also want you to cook. We don't really want you to not cook. We just want you to cook in a way that you'll realize that it's not, you know, that it's different. So that it's Shabbos. So what do? We say, place an Erev, and that will somehow remind you that you're only cooking because it's Shabbos. So that reminder is what's going to allow you to cook. But, like, there's something, like, artificial about the whole thing. He's like, well, what's that exact mechanism by which it allows me to cook? You know, I mean, bottom line is, am I allowed to cook any from Yom Tov Shabbos or not? So, oh, you're allowed to if you have an Erev. Well, how does that work? How does that permit me to do it? If you say there's a prohibition. If it's permitted, it's permitted. But I'm only allowed to cook with an Erev. It's like, I guess if you make a rule like that, then I guess, yeah, you'll say, oh, I'm only allowed to cook with an Erev. But what's the sense of that rule? Like, what is an Erev doing? It just, you take this food and you just put it down and now all of a sudden I'm allowed to cook with it and now I say, oh, I'm only allowed to cook with this food? Like, how's this operating? You know what I mean? That's I think, what maybe was bothering Rashi about just learning the Gemara simple, straight. That's why he has to get into this whole thing about, you know, this, you know, about beginning and finishing and, right? So how's he dealing with it? How's he dealing with it? Like, what, I think he's dealing with, what is an Erev? Like, what is it? How's it working? And it's, well, what are you doing when you place an Erev? It's just like putting down a reminder? Like, what is it? What's the, you see, it's a positive institution. It's a, you make a bracha on it. So what is its positive nature? What is it? What's the character of it? If it's just like a reminder or protection, no, it shouldn't be a positive institution. How? What kind of an isser is you only allowed to cook if you have an Erev? Like, how does that work? What's the what's the mechanism? So it could be that's why Rashi's saying that the mechanism of placing an Erev is Kavod Yom Tov. It's Kavod Yom Tov, see, because what you're doing, placing an Erev, isn't just an arbitrary activity, but it's the beginning you're cooking. Placing an Erev is beginning your cooking of Yom Tov, of Shabbos, before Yom Tov. Okay? That's what you're doing. You're starting to cook for Shabbos before Yom Tov. well, what is that? What are you doing? What's the objective of that activity? It's not just like an artificial reminder. It has to have a meaning in its own right. What's the qiyam? What's the value of the activity of placing it here? What am I doing? So I'm starting to cook for Yashabbos beforehand. Okay, so why would I do such a thing? Just to remind me? Like, how does it remind? What's the meaning of the action intrinsically? So it could be, as the meaning is, it's an action of Kavod Yontif. How's an action of Kavod Yontif? Because it's preventing Yontif from becoming a prep day. So because it's halachically the beginning of my cooking for Yontif, for Shabbos. So it means, what am I doing? I'm not pushing off all my prep for Yontif. But I'm beginning my prep before Yontif. And I don't want to rely, I don't want to relegate it, make Yontif into my sole prep day. But I'm beginning my prep before Yontif. So that's what you're doing in Erev. You're starting to cook it, and now when you cook on Yontif, you're going to be relying on this Erev which you placed. So the in placing an Erev, it's a kiyum in Kavod Yontif. Okay, it's a kiyum in Kavod Yontif. Okay? It's a kiyum in Kavod Yontif. So to speak, even if the Rabbanan never set up Erev, it would be a kiyum for a person. A person who even if they never said Beirut Avshilin, a person who realized that Yontif is a special day and he didn't want it to be a prep day, it would be a good idea, so to speak, to start earlier. Right, like sometimes a person could have that. It's like a person wants to lighten their load. Like if they know they're going to have a busy day, they may lighten their load and start the thing beforehand. They don't want their whole day to be overwhelmed with like let's say, for instance, as an example, like someone will say, on Purim, I like cooking for Purim before Purim, because I know if I prepare on Purim, I'm not going to be able to enjoy my Purim. So what I do is I prepare on Purim, but I also cook a little before Purim. This way, it allows me to have a much more relaxed day involved in Purim itself, you know, so to speak. So there's an idea of that. It's like when you have a day which you don't want to become taken up by a certain activity, so you start it earlier. So that's covered of Yontif. So the placing of the Erev beforehand and the beginning your bishul beforehand is a kavod yantif. Okay, that would be a kima kavod yantif. But here the Rabbanan are demanding that kavod yantif. Their saying is that your bishul on yantif could only take place insofar as your bishul on yantif for Shabbos could only take place insofar as you're basing it on kavod yantif. You're basing it on your erev. It means you're continuing your bishul which started beforehand. And therefore, that's the way they restricted your cooking on Yontif. They didn't just artificially say you're not allowed to cook on Yontif unless you just artificially place this reminder, an arbitrary reminder. But their saying is that your cooking on Yontif has to be in a manner which is based on an expression of Kavod Yontif. Based on expression of Kavod Yontif. Which is that my cooking on Yontif is not just an it's not like I'm making this a big prep day. But it's a day, it's an action of cooking, but it's minimized. I'm minimizing the involvement in cooking, so to speak. I'm not making it a prep day, I'm just doing an action of cooking. So that serves to so to speak, protect my relationship to Yontif. That I'm not just saying, and this is kind of like what Matt was saying before, is I'm not just saying Yontif is a big prep day. A big day. There's a danger of a person relating to Yontif as a day where he can just do whatever he wants. He could cook. It's a cooking day. It's not a malacha day. So then a guy's going to end up cooking on Yontif Tuchol also. He'll just say, oh, there's no such thing as cooking on Yontif. So they're trying to do is to the chashash is based upon an attitude of the gavra. So what they're doing is that they're saying is that your cooking could only be in the context of Kavod Yontif. Could be in the context of the danger is that your cooking will undermine the Kavod Yontif and it will make it into a day of cooking and a free-for-all, and the guy's gonna that attitude is gonna cause a guy to cook in Yontif Tuchol. So they said is that the cooking, if the cooking is bekavod to Yontif, so then you could do it. How is it bekavod to Yontif? If your cooking is a continuation of a cooking process which started earlier, which is namely it's a cooking which is avoidance of making it a prep day, so then that type of cooking, so even though it's allowed on Yom Shabbos, I'm doing it in a manner which doesn't undermine the kavod of the Yom of Yontif. So therefore, I'll say is so when it comes to regular yontif, now I'll say, oh, not allowed to do it here, because here the only permit to cook on yontif to Shabbos was when I did it in a manner which took into account the kavod of yontif. But you know, the through via the erev. But on a regular time where I don't have such a mechanism and the whole thing doesn't exist, so now I'll say I'm not allowed to cook. They didn't like the idea that you just could have a free-for-all cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, and you could just make it into a prep day. It's too loose. It's going to undermine a person's relationship to Yom Tov as being a special day. And then it comes along Yom Tov to Chol. He's going to be loose about it. He's going to end up cooking. So by making it that, the cooking is only in a context of Kavod Yom Tov. So therefore, the cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos is not going to undermine the Kavod Yom Tov. It's not going to undermine the person's attitude towards Yom Tov. And then, when next year comes along, he's not going to have a loose attitude towards cooking on cooking towards Yom Tov because he was cooking. Because his whole cooking was based upon the institution of the Erev, which is a positive institution, which is just an expression of Kavod Yom Tov. See, it has to be like, I think in terms of the hacker, it has to be like a positive thing. Because the positive thing is what reminds the person and brings it to his mind and makes it in his cooking of Kavod.
Hacker.
Yeah, so without the positive nature of the thing, it wouldn't be an expression of the Kavod, and it wouldn't serve to protect the Yom Tov. Whereas the danger of Yom Tov here is, again, is based upon the attitude of the person, that he's going to take Yom Tov lightly. So therefore, you set up the cooking, if the cooking is in the context of Kavod, so now you're not going to run into that problem. So that's why I think it has to be a positive institution, because you want a positive institution of Erev. But Rashi didn't like just saying the Erev is just a reminder. Like, how is it a reminder? What's it, just a reminder? So you see it and it reminds you? Like, what's it reminding you of? But the Erev is, it's a reminder. It's not just a reminder. It's a statement that Yom Tov can be my prep day for Shabbos. So it's an expression of Kavod Yom Tov. And that's what it protects Yom Tov, is the fact that Yom Tov retains its kavod. Even though I'm cooking on it, it's bechavod. So that's what makes it that a guy's not going to make a mistake for next year. So what I'm saying is, like, it's not just that they didn't want Yom Tov to become prep day. Because what's wrong with that? The Torah didn't say you can't make Yom Tov prep day. So there's no issue like that. I mean, look, maybe a person who has the highest respect for Yom Tov won't do it, but there's no issue like that. So it's not per se that they didn't want it. They didn't want it because then the guy is going to, like we were saying, Matt, is that then the guy is going to end up having a weak attitude towards Yom Tov. He's not going to look at Yom Tov as a day of respectable day. And then he's going to end up cooking on Yom Tov. It's a day where basically it becomes a day like a Chol HaKol. So they wanted him to be able to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but they wanted they didn't want it to be done in a manner which is going to undermine the Kavod of Yom Tov. So basically, they set up a positive action of Erev, which is an expression of Kavod of Yom Tov, because it's saying is I'm preempting my bishul before Yom Tov, because I don't want to have to do everything on Yom Tov. So I'm starting earlier, so that's an action of Kavod Yom Tov. So now my cooking, which takes place, is in the context, is reliance on this expression of Kavod Yom Tov. So now the cooking isn't going to undermine Kavod Yom Tov, and therefore it's not going to lead to it's not going to lead to him cooking for next year from Yom Tov to Chol. See, maybe it's like the Kal V'Chomer. It's not an actual halachic Kal V'Chomer. It just means in the guy's mind. Because he's going to say, what's going to make him cook from Yom Tov to Chol is because he looks at Yom Tov lightly. Right? But once you make sure his cooking is in a manner which is b'chavo to Yom Tov, so now when it comes to Yom Tov, so now why would he cook from Yom Tov to Chol? What's going to cause him to cook from Yom Tov to Chol is because you've made Yom Tov into a light day, a weak day. But once you haven't done that, so he's going to say, as you see, on the contrary, it's a Kabbalistic day. Even for Shabbos, I could only do it if I'm not rendering it into a prep day. So you see, the guy's going to realize Yom Tov is a very important thing. It's not just knocked away. Even though I'm allowed to do it by Shabbos, I still have to worry about covering Yom Tov. So therefore, a guy's going to have a good respect for Yom Tov. So now he'll say, oh, I'm not allowed to cook Yom Tov for Chol. then he'll be aware, or they were aware of that Esser, and he's not allowed to cook at all. But the guy is, once you undermine the lack of respect of Yantif, which could be involved in the cooking, then there's no reason why the guy is gonna come to cook. So he's gonna altogether, he's gonna be restricted. Let's think about it. Let's think about this a little bit. What I'd like to do next, is to look at the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam and the Ravid on this. They don't learn this way. They learn differently. You'll see. I mean, it's a very funny Rambam. Very different. Ravid has a hard time with the Rambam. So maybe let's think about this for tomorrow, and let's see if we could try to take a look at start working on the Rambam and the Ravid. Okay, you can't miss it. I don't know where it's they get knowledge. Halach Aleph, hey, Vav Aleph, and Yalach Aleph, I guess. You can't miss it. There's Rambam and Ravid there. Exactly. It's an upshot that the guy is going to confuse. That he's going to say, oh, you're allowed to cook Yantar to Shabbos, or you're allowed to cook Yantar to Chol. He's not going to get confused between those. He knows Shabbos and Chol are different. It's not right. That's to answer Mara's question. Rather, it just means if you cook from Yantar to Chol to Shabbos, and you can make it into a prep day, and the whole day of Yantar is set aside, so they're cooking for Shabbos, and so the guy's going to end up, he's going to make Yantar lax in his eyes, light in his eyes. So the next year, he's going to come along, he's just going to cook on Yantar. And become a certain attitude, you know, a certain lack of respect for Yantav. But by the fact that you make him, you demand that he does it in the context of Kavod, the Derech Kavod, that he does it with an Erev, which says that even though it's Shabbos, and you're allowed to cook on Shabbos, make sure you do start earlier. You don't go all, you make sure you don't make it into prep day, so now he's going to look at Yantav Derech Kavod, so now he's not going to end up, it's a whole culture case. Now he's going to think I have great respect for it. He's never cooked me on the ball. Right, that's a good point. What Matt's saying is that it's not subject to the laws of a Kal Vachomer because it's not an actual Kal Vachomer. It's just talking about the guy's psychology. The guy's psychology is going to say, oh, even on Shabbos, I have to worry about protecting. Even though I'm cooking for Shabbos, I have to worry about Kavod of Yantav. Certainly, when it comes to Chol, I'm never going to take Yantav lightly. It's Yantav to Chol. I'd never do any cooking. Right, so it doesn't mean it's an actual Kal Vachomer. It just means it's talking about the guy's psychology. A real Kal Vachomer has principles that you can't say, you can't go more than the thing. But here, of course, the guy knows Shabbos is more important than Chol. But even on Shabbos, he has to be so careful about the Kavod Yantav.